Hello, this is Jesse Liberty, and this is yet another podcast. Today, I'm excited to have James Montemagno. He is a principal program manager at the Xamarin team at Microsoft. He's been a .NET developer since 2005, working on a wide range of industries. James, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Jesse. It's so good, Jesse, to be back on the podcast, and thanks for having me.
Well, you've got a whole lot going on, and one of the things you've got going on is Xamarin recently acquired Microsoft. And
that's correct. That is correct.
And you're a principal program manager, which is fantastic. That's a great position to be in.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, it's been really good. It's been a few months now since, you know, we gained blue badge status, been able to get into any doors on the main campus, which is nice, which I kind of like. You know, before I had to have people escort me around the campus. Now I can just do whatever I want. So that's pretty great. But no, it's been really good, you know, and even though I have a new title, the goal and the vision is still the same, to essentially just help developers be successful writing cross-platform native mobile apps with Xamarin. That's all I've wanted to do for the last 3 years. And that's what we're going to keep doing.
Well, you've been doing a lot of it, and you know, you're famous for your productivity. I'm hoping that today we can get into some details about some of the recent developments. Let me start you off by asking you about the recent cycles, and maybe you could start by defining what a cycle is and then talk to us about cycle 7 and 8.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's a great question. And a lot of developers come to me or come to our Twitter account or blog, and they're always reading about the recent releases that we're doing. They want to know, when are the new features coming? When's this coming? And it must have been around almost a year ago or so, I want to say. And you can find it somewhere on our blog. We kind of reorganized how we do our release candidates and previews, essentially around our quality gates. So a long, long time ago, we would have our stable channel, our beta channel, our alpha channel inside of Visual Studio or Xamarin Studio. And these were always new features, things like that, that were coming out. And it was interesting because, you know, if you're only doing iOS and Android development, then as it was for many years, and it was fine to have those three channels. But the problem was that soon there was like TV, then there's watch, and then there's new designer support. And there's, you know, the mobile has grown a lot in the last 5 years since I've been doing this development. Same with you, you know, it's crazy. So we started to do these like previews. So for instance, instead of just saying we're going to slap iOS 10 preview support in this alpha channel, for instance, we are going to put it in a preview. So it's a separate downloadable. So it's like, if you want to try this stuff early, it's not going to impact your day-to-day development. So that kind of means that, like, until things are ready, they don't even go into an alpha, you know, channel for development. So here's what a cycle is. A cycle is a set of medium to large feature sets and implementation. So it's a set of updates to all the products, some or all the products, that go through the alpha stages first for a long time, then the beta channel for a long time, and then there is a release candidate that essentially is released. And the release candidate goes through stuff in that beta channel, and then it goes into the stable channel. So it's a nice defined way of saying, like, listen, like, when it's in alpha, this is kind of, you can think of it as our release of what's going to be in these upcoming cycles. And we do, you know, 2, 3, 4, how many cycles we can fit into a year. It just kind of depends on how long a cycle is, because sometimes they're bigger, sometimes they're smaller, and things like that. So, and sometimes the cycles are around specific releases. So maybe Android N and iOS 10, or an event like Xamarin Evolve, for instance, where we announced our release candidate for cycle 7, for instance. And then when a cycle is complete, it's in the stable channel. And then we continuously do kind of additional release, like not hot fixes per se, but release packs, kind of like, you know, Visual Studio has update 1, update 2. Cycle 8 would have update 1, update 2, and they're kind of these additional updates on top of the main release. So it's a nice thing to say. It's like, listen, I'm in the stable, you know, channel. This is version X, and then this is what's all in the cycle. So as soon as cycle 8's done, we start work on cycle 9. So you could then essentially say that's what's coming up next. But what the real motivation there was, because mobile's moving so fast, when TVS comes up and this comes up, we can do those separate previews that aren't going to impact you as a developer on a day to day. So it's like, if you're in the alpha channel, like, you know that there's the quality level there. And we're not going to put in something until it's ready to go.
Great. And can we talk specifically about what made it into cycle 7 and what made it into cycle 8?
Yeah. So Cycle 7 was probably our first, one of our largest releases in a long time. And this was at Xamarin Evolve, which was when we announced our release candidate for Cycle 7. And then at .NET Conference in June was when Miguel did the keynote for .NET Conf, and he announced the release of Cycle 7 into our Sable channel. And this had all that goodness from Evolve that we announced on stage that was coming, and plus more based on feedback. Because when we have those release candidates, we're getting constant feedback and really making improvements to the product. So, you know, the first largest overhaul by far that developers are going to see is if they're on a Mac doing work inside of Xamarin Studio. Because this was honestly, like, since I've been doing this for 5 years, this is definitely the largest, most stable, I mean, best released of Xamarin Studio. It's like an Apple event. This is the best, most magical, most wonderful release of Xamarin Studio, because it was a complete overhaul to the IDE. We switched out how the entire type system is powered inside of Xamarin Studio. So now it's actually powered by Roslyn, you know, the .NET open source compiler that we have. And this actually led to a lot of awesome things for developers. First was that we didn't have this this faux C# 6 support. It was full C# 6 support, everything powered by Roslyn. There was a brand new formatting engine and a complete overhaul to the code completion and analysis, because everything, again, is powered by Roslyn, which means that it's going to match a very similar code completion and refactoring support of Visual Studio 2015, which is also powered by Roslyn. And this is also great because since it's powered by Roslyn, as Roslyn updates, we can update Roslyn and Xamarin Studio, which means as new features are added to Visual Studio, they also get automatically updated to Xamarin Studio with very little work. So when C# 7 comes out, we'll be able to easily adapt that and integrate it into Xamarin Studio extremely quickly. So like, that's just a huge, and like, there's really nothing you have to do to even enable that when you install it. This is, you know, anything that's in the stable channel since June will have this. So everyone has this today. You're good. I mean, and as you're typing, you know, it's just a more delightful experience. So that's like the big first part of it. And Xamarin Studio, tons of releases. I think, I don't know, are you a dark theme developer?
I am. Jesse? Yes.
You are. I can't do it. I don't know. People love it. We totally added it to Xamarin Studio. I think it was almost everyone's favorite feature.
And
in
we
the
thank
last
you.
Five
yes,
years.
Absolutely.
You know, we've always had a great light theme, and we've been trying to match Mac. You know, it's a native Mac app and things like that. And it was Mono Develop a long time ago. And there's always these editor themes, so you could at least make the code editing dark themed, but not the entire IDE. And I totally understand people love the dark theme, and everyone I look at is always in dark theme, but I'm a generic, whatever it was installed out of the box, give it to me. But dark theme came to Xamarin Studio, and it was like world-class support, because we redid over 5,700 icons. That's crazy.
That is crazy.
It's a ridiculous amount, because we really had to optimize for both scenarios and make sure that people, even with, if they have, some impairment, like if you can only see black and white, for instance, those icons still need to adapt so you can see them properly too. You know, my dad is colorblind, for instance. So it's like, you know, you had to make sure that if you are living with that impediment, that it's still working good, for any of those accessibility features. So we redid everything, new app icon, every single icon was hand drawn. Which was amazing. And then we added a whole bunch of other features, right? So you added some new F# support. So PCL support, shared project support, update to F# 4 for all of our F# developers. I mean, the list goes on. We updated NuGet, you know, updates to the iOS and Android designers, you know, tvOS support, things like that. It was a huge, huge release. For that. And then you have Visual Studio, right? So that's just Xamarin Studio. Visual Studio also got tvOS support, new iOS asset catalog. And the biggest change probably for both Xamarin Studio and Visual Studio was some updates to the SSL and TLS implementation for iOS, which is actually really important when it comes to a lot of changes that iOS 9 and iOS 10 add around kind of the authentication bits and security aspects of hitting endpoints. So our standard HTTP client just uses the mono implementation, but you may want to go through the native stack. So you actually get to pick what you want to go through, which is really nice. And then it was kind of like getting ready for the next releases, which was, you know, we were in this nice part of the year, because if this is June or when Evolve was in April, you know, it was a nice time of the year because there wasn't a new version of iOS just yet. New version of Android was still coming. Everything was on the horizon. So these are all about productivity features, new features coming into Xamarin Studio and Visual Studio. And I think that everything to me has been about that I've seen just using the product, creating apps, and you can comment, is like, it's a more stable, yes. It's a more delightful, it's just a better experience. I mean, we always want it to be better. And I think that you kind of see the quality always improving in the products because we're getting the feedback and we're having this release, like I talked about with the Cycle 7 and the release candidates and going through the cycles. I'm even having the previews that we can get that early feedback from our developers and pull it into the product.
Before I let you get off of this topic, so that there isn't much confusion, there is still the alpha, beta, and stable channel, and then there are separate cycle previews. And how do folks go about differentiating and getting the one that they need?
Yeah, so it's actually pretty interesting. So your cycle releases will always be in the current stable, beta, or alpha. So those are always there. And when we do previews, it's usually around a core feature that is upcoming that doesn't necessarily need to be in one of those channels. For instance, early on when we did our very first preview of iOS 10 and Android N, they were separate installs. And we always do a blog post around them. So for instance, when we did our first preview of iOS 10, we would point you to our documentation, and our documentation is always up to date as far as what are the latest builds? How do you install them? What other dependencies do you need? Because the problem there is, let's say you're upgrading to Android N and you're like, oh, I'm just like going and I'm getting ready to do this stuff. And all of a sudden Android N comes in and you're updating the alpha channel. But oh, there's these other dependencies like JDK 8 and like all this other stuff I have to update. You may not realize it. So the preview and the documentation walks you through how to update those things. And then we always do a blog post around it as to when those previews get integrated into the cycle. So for instance, for cycle 8, we had previews of iOS 10 and Android N that got integrated into cycle 8, along with other features to the IDEs too. That's currently today as of recording, it's in beta, but probably as of release will be in stable. I'm not sure when it's going to go live, but should be soon. So the best place to look is releases.xamarin.com. This is our release blog. We have our blog and then we have our release blog, and the releases blog is pretty fantastic. I even go to it because, you know, I'm in Seattle, but a lot of the dev team and release team is in Boston. So when you go to releases.xamarin.com, you can see all of the new beta previews that were coming out. So for instance, beta preview 4 of cycle 8 came out on September 8th, and they'll tell you the diffs of what you currently have installed and what's the next one and anything you may need installed and what are some known issues and what were addressed in this issue. And then it goes to the release notes. I mean, this stuff is super well documented. So when you go to the release notes, you can see, you know, images, screenshots, things like that, things that maybe even added, removed, new features. And for instance, just today, the new Xamarin Profiler 0.34.1 came out, right? So if you're looking to make sure you always have the latest and latest and you want to know it was put into that preview, then you can go do that. And that's a great example of a product, right? Because Xamarin Profiler is a separate download. So not everyone gets it because it's still in preview to a level where it doesn't need to be shipped with everyone. We're still looking to get feedback. So there may be some additional download that you need to get that running.
Yes. Okay. So the one, while we're on this, and we'll move on to other topics, but I think a key question in a lot of people's mind is, okay, I do this and I get a preview or I get a beta, and now I have real work and I want to go only to rock solid. So how do we roll back and forth between those?
So it's actually gotten super, super crazy simple, to be honest with you. If you're just going back and forth between the stable and beta and alpha channel, you can literally just toggle them back and forth. So when you toggle them in Xamarin Studio or Visual Studio, there's a channel you select. And when you install that, it literally like will uninstall everything that you have and install the new stuff. So it will overwrite everything, and everything is grouped together. So that means that When you go into the alpha channel, you know, there's specific versions of Mono, Xamarin Android, Xamarin iOS, Xamarin Studio. When you go in the stable channel, there's all those versions. So everything gets overwritten. The only thing that you need to remember is, like, if you had installed a preview, let's say of Android N, which needed to actually go into another tool like the Android SDK manager and download the actual, you know, emulators and build tools, that you probably need to uninstall those to go back to the regular stable channel. Most of the time, when you're doing that, though, you're going to be looking at the documentation to install that preview. So you'd want to do the reverse of it. So for instance, if you're installing, like early on, if you're installing iOS 10 support, you need Xcode 8 installed. So when you install Xcode 8, luckily Apple, when it does the previews, it puts it as a separate install on your machine. And you can then tell Xamarin Studio or Visual Studio to look at a different directory. So you kind of just have to remember those things. And that's kind of a rarer case, because most of the time, there's usually not dependent other tools that are out there that you need to add. So normally you can just toggle back and forth there. Yeah.
That's great. Thank you for walking me through that. Let's talk about the .NET standard for a couple of minutes and how that interacts with Xamarin.
Yeah, so .NET standard is super interesting. And this was this is actually a feature that we introduced for Xamarin support in between cycle 7 and cycle 8. So cycle 8 is about to come out with new versions of Xamarin for Visual Studio and Xamarin Studio 6.1. A lot of awesome features in it. And I wrote a great blog post about .NET standard for Xamarin. And usually when I talk to developers, their confusion, sometimes even my confusion, is around, like, what is this .NET core thing? What is this .NET standard thing? What is this ASP.NET core thing? What are these things? Like, I don't quite understand it. And I tried to, I've done a lightning talks on it. I did some user group talks on it. And what I kind of talk about is that, you know, .NET Core is a product. It's a product that has a runtime, and it is built to run on Windows, Linux, and Mac OS. So that means you can create a like console application or a .NET Core application that will run on those products. Now, what's interesting there is that the .NET Core product implements and consumes .NET standard libraries. So the .NET standard is kind of this list of APIs of the .NET framework that products or platforms can implement and support, which means that as a developer, I can create a .NET standard library. Okay. It's like a portable class library targeting the .NET standard library. And what's nice about that is that they're not reference assemblies. Like, portable class libraries are this interchange. It's like, all right, you have all these different products that kind of implement different bits of .NET. You know, so if you're creating a portable class library to share code, well, this thing supports some of .NET, this supports some of .NET, this supports some of .NET, and this is overlap. And it gets very confusing because you have all these different profiles. So I like to call those PCL profile based, but a PCL .NET standard library base is completely different. It literally says, like, that when you create this library, any product, and a product being .NET Core, ASP.NET Core, Xamarin, well, Windows 10, whatever, it implements these APIs of .NET. So you know. So it's not a reference assembly. It's a contract. And there's different versions of .NET standard libraries. So that's what's kind of nice, is that there's a 1.0, 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, 1.4, and 1.6 as of today. And each of those versions builds on top of it. So for instance, your 1.0 means that these are platforms that implement the most minimal amount of .NET. So you can think of it as a portable class library that, like, targets everything. So it's not a lot of .NET. And then you start adding on top of that. So 1.0 or 1.1 has everything that 1.0 has inside of it. And 1.2 has everything of 1.0 and 1.1. So it just builds on top of it, and you add more features. So here's what's really cool, is Xamarin supports .NET standard 1.6. So all of everything that .NET standard could possibly have, which is the same that .NET Core implements. It's the same that ASP.NET Core implements. So that means that you can create one .NET standard library, install .NET standard packages. So for instance, if you're using like AutoMapper, or you're using some OData stuff, and you know, there's all these .NET Core specific packages, you can now include them into your Xamarin application. And it's just a NuGet package, and you don't have to really worry about it. That's kind of the beauty of it, is that you can just consume these things easily, and then you can create them easily too in Visual Studio. You can just create and target a .NET standard library. So it's kind of really nice for library creators, but from a developer's point of view, it's like, hey, listen, I just want to consume whatever people are doing. I don't care if they're targeting .NET standard or if they're PCL still. Like, I just want to consume it in my Xamarin application. Now you can just do it.
Okay, and that last part, let's be a little bit more explicit. If you are a developer and you want to, quote, just do it, what do you do?
So exactly. So what you do is you just go to NuGet. You search for the NuGet that you want. And, you know, previously, like, you would maybe install, let's see, if I look at, like, .NET standard Xamarin, if I type that in, I go to our blog post about it. A lot of people may want to have installed, I think I created, like, let's say Windows Azure Storage, for instance. And, you know, there may have been a portable class library version of it, but maybe they didn't have, like, a Xamarin implementation, right? I think that was kind of like Xamarin iOS. They're like, oh, well, I try to install this and they have a PCL, but they don't have like a Xamarin iOS specific one. So if you were to go and install Windows Azure Storage, which is a .NET standard library, you can now just install it normally. So you go to NuGet, you search Windows Azure Storage, hit add package, and it just adds. So it'll add all the dependencies that are also targeting the .NET standard library, such as OData and the data service client, EDM client, and things like that that are required. And that's actually really nice because there's a lot of packages that are moving towards the .NET standard library because it's easier to manage from a library creator. So that means as a developer, I go to the open source project, whatever it is, I'm looking at it. It's like, oh, it supports .NET standard libraries. Awesome. That means I can include it in my Xamarin app.
Okay. So let me see if I can bring two separate threads together and you tell me if this makes any sense. You created plugins or you certainly popularized plugins and they are a terrific way of letting someone else do all the hard work. Does that tie into the idea of .NET standard libraries? Does one make the other easier or are they completely disparate?
In a way. So plugins, it's interesting. I think that if you're creating plugins like I am, so I have a reference assembly that says like, oh, this is a contract to pick a photo, take a photo. Am I connected to the internet? It's the same thing. Like that one's easy enough where that would still be installed in the .NET standard library that you're creating and sharing with your iOS or Android app. And that would still have separate implementation. So they kind of work very similarly. But if you were just creating just .NET code, right, and you didn't really want to worry about iOS or Android, you're like, I'm just creating the next Windows Azure library. It's just .NET code. You don't have to worry about, oh, I need to like worry about Windows Phone for some reason because it doesn't implement this one thing. It's like I'm targeting 1.6 and that's what it'll be installed into. So for plugins, it's basically the same. Nothing really changes there. Because it was kind of made on that idea that the portable code is actually just a shim wrapper. It's just kind of like this contract, where the .NET standard library is just this one big library of .NET that can be shared everywhere.
Got it. Let's talk about plugins for a minute. Mm-hmm. I know that it's not brand new, so I don't want to go over the same ground, but some of them are so incredible and save so much work, and it seems like there are new ones coming out all the time. Are you seeing continuing development on plugins, or have things settled down a bit into a standard setup?
No, I don't think so. I think that the idea of plugins, and I think we had talked about on an earlier podcast that we had done together, is the idea that, listen, you know, there for a .NET developer, I want to write my code very seamlessly, right? It's like async await. Like I just want to say async, I wait for it to come back. If I want to do something on the platform, let's say take a photo, I just want to say take a photo async and like it should go off to the native platform and do it because there's an iOS implementation, an Android implementation, a Windows implementation. So normally if I was just developing this by myself, it's like, oh, listen, in my shared code, I want to take a photo. Well, I would write a interface. I would implement the interface on each platform and then I would copy and paste that code into every project, right? That I needed it to. So plugins say like, listen, we've all written this code a whole bunch of times. It's all well documented. If I want to, send an email, if I want to take a photo, if I want to get the geolocation, here's one NuGet package that you can install on all your projects. And from your shared code, you can say, take photo async. And it under the hood, it calls the native implementation and it'll return back to you some abstraction of it, you know, back to you. So a stream or a byte array or something like that. And then all the code is open source and they're super easy to create. We have templates for them right into Visual Studio to create it. And all these plugins support iOS, Android, Windows 10, and older versions of Windows too. And there's a huge community around them. I've created a lot of them. All my nougats are about to pass 1 million downloads, which is pretty awesome. And some of my most popular, like Connectivity, with almost 150,000 downloads of that just single package, which is really impressive.
Astounding. Yes.
Yeah. And that one's easy. It's like, I want to check Connectivity or see when connection changes. And over the year and a half or so that we started this plugin initiative, we try to streamline the actual process of, here's how you create the templates, here's how you actually name them, here's how your namespaces should be. So when you install any of my plugins, I can just say using plugin dot and all the plugins are installed. And I think we have a lot of our Xamarin MVPs and even Microsoft MVPs that are out there creating these libraries, abstracting this out. And I think it gets even more interesting as the platforms evolve. So now that Android N and iOS 10 are coming out, we're seeing a lot of new work being done on plugins to actually support these new APIs. Like Alan Ritchie is creating a new one for doing, I think, like speech to text, for instance, because there's new APIs in the new version of iOS 10 that he can support. And, you know, when Android changes all their permissions, I can create like a permissions plugin. So we're seeing a lot of these plugins pop up on NuGet, and then the most popular ones kind of boiling or bubbling to the top. Which is really nice. There's a really good, large growth base around it, but at some point you can only abstract so much. You know, that's the thing. We'll get to that plateau where we're just really fine tuning. I think right now we're in a fine tune state where the Connectivity plugin, like, we're only fine tuning it. So if there's changes from Apple or we want to just improve one little thing here or there, that's what we're doing to those packages to make sure that when you install them, you just get a high quality plugin.
Before we go on to Android N and iOS 10, just following up on what you said about plugins, if people want to find out what plugins are out there and which ones are new, or they're looking to accomplish something and they want to know if there's a plugin for it, what's the best way for them to do
that? Yeah, so the best way to do it is go to xamarin.com/plugins. That's kind of like a one-stop, very easy to remember URL. It kind of has some overview of what a plugin is, and then there's a link to like browse plugins. And that will take you to our GitHub page that has a nice list of all the most popular plugins and community plugins that are out there. And then tells you how to create them, how to submit your ideas, and how to get those templates that I was talking about.
Great. Let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the upcoming releases. What's cool in Android N and iOS 10?
Sure. So there's a lot. And actually, this all revolves around our upcoming Cycle 8, which, again, by the time this is released, may already be out. I'm not sure when we're releasing this, but there are some pretty huge changes to Xamarin coming. And it revolves around the Cycle 8 release, which is two-factor. It's the Android N and the iOS 10, but it's also updates to Xamarin for Visual Studio and Xamarin Studio as well. So some big things around, I guess, Android N. And so if we look kind of at that, there's quite a bit. So Android N obviously is a brand new operating system coming out. It's already out, actually. So Android N is out and our support has been in beta for a while and in preview for a while, and it'll hit stable again at probably when this is coming out. But, you know, with Android N, for a developer's point of view, there's not too much crazy, crazy new coming on, to be honest with you. When it comes to the world of Android, the releases of Android are a little bit smaller because they have all these support libraries and design libraries and Google Play services and all this stuff that are adding new features to Android all the time. With Android N, it's kind of, there's two or three bigger things to look at. The first is that they've added like split screen support for your application, and they have some good guidance on how to make a good split screen so you can run multiple applications at the same time. And your application, as long as you're not doing anything weird as far as restricting certain things in your Android manifest, will automatically just readjust. So if you have a Xamarin Forms application, it'll readjust automatically for you and you don't have to really worry about it. And if you're on a tablet or a phone, people can just, you know, make your application halfway, which is really cool. So you can run it side by side. But the biggest thing that actually impacts a lot of developers is that Google changed how NDK, which is the native development kit, like native libraries work. We got kind of lucky. This impacts every Android developer ever, but there's quite a bit of different Android libraries that were kind of in this shared space. And kind of weird. Okay, I don't want to go into too many details, but essentially some things around like lib SQLite and lib, there's like crypto and a bunch of like these, you know, Java libraries that sit there, were shared and had to be installed. So they said, you know what? We don't want to ship these shared things anymore. We want you to just bundle it into your application. So they were going to break every single application that did that. And they gave developers a long time to update their app, but luckily they're giving us even longer. But I would say for Xamarin developers, mostly this impacts anyone using anything in SQLite. So if they're using SQLite Raw, if they're using the Azure stuff that uses SQLite, if they're using MVVM Cross, everything is built on top of the SQLite. And it was always easier to say, like, why would I want to include all these libraries into my application and bloat it when they're on the machine? You know, it's like SQLite's there. Like, why can't we just use it? So we had to make some changes to it. So if you're already using any of those things, I just did a blog post last week on it. You just have to update some of your packages or just update Xamarin if you're using our built-in like mono data SQLite, and it'll just work automatically. And I have some good guidance on how to use that there, which is cool. But we've made some further improvements in just when you update to Xamarin Android 7.0, you get these Android N support, but you also get some brand new features around Android development, such as fast deployment. And this is actually really cool. This is a big win, which is that normally when you're building Android applications, you'll have to rebuild and redeploy your entire Android package when any of the assemblies or assets change. When we're generating these Android callable wrappers and assets and resources as you're doing things. But now we have an optional flag. It's kind of in preview, but we will automatically, you know, try to fast deploy and not rebuild the entire thing. So that will take down your kind of redeploy from maybe it would take like 16 seconds under just a few seconds just to redeploy when you're doing debugs and things like that, which is really cool. Google's adding new features to Android N. We're adding some new improvements to Android N that's coming there. Just in the actual, just normal deployment of Android applications. So you don't even have to target Android N, which is really cool. But to me, yeah, Android N is interesting. You know, I'm an Android fanboy, Jesse. So I kind of get like really excited when new versions of Android come out. And I've been, you know, actually running Android N for a long time on my phone. And it's basically the same as Android M. I think if you've already gone through the process of updating your app to Android M with the new permissions that are required, it's kind of like an iOS type feel where you have to request certain permissions from your users and not always granted. And I have a plugin to do that, which is nice. Then you're kind of on your way and apps just kind of work and you're good. It's only if you're using some of these other libraries to be aware of. And everything else in Android N is mostly to me just fine tuning. So they have some new notifications. They have some new Doze features. So like, you know, if you're doing a lot of background processing, you know, they are, you know, doing a lot of work around that to make it really stable and limiting your application to probably even more, I guess, in the background. But iOS 10 is way bigger. So I think like if you're doing Android development, like really look into the support libraries and things new in Google Play services and Firebase and things like that, because there's so much going on in those releases that are really going to impact your application. Where iOS 10 is like way crazy different, right? Because what happened here is Apple is releasing not only iOS 10, but they're also releasing watchOS 3, tvOS 10, and macOS Sierra all at the same time. So this is a huge, crazy release. And for Xamarin developers, we have amazing support for all of these products. So we have support for watchOS 3. If you're building the brand new watchOS applications, you're going to be able to build full applications on them, storyboard support, things like that. Same for tvOS and both IDEs. You can do tvOS and Apple Watch development right from Visual Studio. And they've added all these new features to it to take advantage of. But of course, I think everyone's probably most excited about iOS 10, mostly because they have a brand new Siri kit. So for the first time, you can actually get access to Siri and integrate Siri into your application.
Yes.
So, which is super cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let me just stop you for 1 second and go back to Android for just 1 second. You were saying that it's going to have an impact on SQLite. Is it going to have an impact on using Azure mobile apps, or is that kind of magic going to still work?
Yeah. So here's the nice thing about this, the impact I would say on those other libraries, is that if those libraries are currently using the the public version of those libraries, all they need to do is update to there's other libraries out there that are kind of are using the an embedded version of those libSQLite, for instance. So I have a blog post, and we'll put it in the show notes. I'll send you the link so we have it, but it's on the blog, and it's called Preparing for Native Library Linking Changes in Android N. So for instance, if you're using MonoData SQLite, which is our SQLite, all you have to do is update Xamarin, rebuild your application, deploy. If you're using SQLite.net PCL, which is Frank Kruger's library, you just have to update to the latest version, and he has fixes for it. If you're using Azure Mobile Apps, the SQLite store, there's a new version 3, which has those updates. If you're using MVVM Cross, guess what? You're good to go. Version 4.3.3 or later has those updates. And if any of the other NuGets, there's tons of libraries using SQLite, maybe like Couchbase or someone else. If they're using SQLite PCL Raw from Eric Sink, who's a genius developer and this amazing library, he's the one doing a lot of this hard work under the hood. You just update his library, you're good to go. But the nice thing is you have time. So don't freak out just because you listen to yet another podcast. Because you still have time. Like my applications, a lot of my apps are using Azure Mobile Apps or just using the core implementation. And as of right now, your users won't see anything. Like nothing is going to change if you're still developing and targeting Android Marshmallow. If you want to target and use the new features of Android N API 24 and download and target that, you're going to have to update all your stuff. And in the future, your users will see a runtime error if you don't update these libraries, even if you're still targeting older versions of Android. So you have time, and Google hasn't actually said when they're going to do it, but I'm assuming they're going to give us quite a bit more time just because there's so many Android applications and so many installs that are out there. Plus also realize that, you know, Android N is going to take a long time to actually get to a substantial amount of the market.
All right. Before I drop this topic, last question on it. What about Xamarin Forms and Android N?
You're good. No real changes, no real impacts, which is super, super great. And it's kind of really nice. If you remember when iOS added for the iPad multitasking, which is really nice if you have big iPads, so you could run apps side by side.
Yes.
If you were doing Xamarin Forms application, like everything auto resizes, does everything for you automatically, and you didn't really have anything to worry about. The same thing's true in Android N, now that they actually have the side by side, very similar to the iPad, is that Xamarin Forms handles it all for you automatically. Any of the resizing, anything like that, nothing to worry about.
Love and Xamarin Forms. And I want to come back to Xamarin Forms, but before I do, you said that iOS 10 is huge, and you mentioned one big piece of it. Can you talk a little bit about some of the other things that are in iOS 10?
Yeah, so it's actually interesting. There's a lot of new capabilities to have access to these new phones. So if you're doing a lot of like really hard work, let's say you're the Instagram of the world, when you're doing a lot of photo processing and a lot of detailed imagery or videos, the new phones have the capability to wide color and true tone, like kind of they've added like another variable to the color space. So wide color extends the pixel format range. So at the Apple event on September 7th, they had Instagram on stage showing off how they're taking advantage of these new APIs and really bringing vibrancy to their photos, which is really cool. But there's other things like you can have your application use Siri Kit, so you can actually get access if you're doing a car driving or if you're doing like run application, you can have Siri start your application, you can interact. And they have a brand new call kit, which offers really good integration for voice over IP apps, really big enhancements to user notifications. It actually aligns them a lot more with Android. So for instance, on Android, you can have a lot of detail in your notifications, like large images. You can have different support as far as different like controls for music and things like that. The user notifications in iOS 10 have also been updated, so you can actually embed larger pieces of framework. It's not just a piece of text. You can have images. You can have different conditions such as time of day that are really nice. These work for both local and remote notifications that are coming in. So there's a lot of big enhancements around that. But the biggest one probably is around the new iMessage application. And this is actually quite interesting because I had Frank try to, I'm not an iOS person, right? I don't carry around an iOS device with me besides for development. And if you actually look about this new iMessage apps, there's two parts of it. One is that you can create these sticker packs, which, you know, it's kind of like, oh, I can just slap a picture, like emojis almost, and you can release an application. For a sticker pack. So let's say you're Nintendo and you want a Mario sticker pack, or you're, you know, Sega and you want a Sonic sticker pack, and people can put these into their application. You can sell them, which is cool. But iMessage actually kind of has this mini iMessage app store, because they open up iMessage to have extensions, and everyone on iPhone uses iMessage. It's super popular. So you can actually create like little applications that are embedded inside of iMessage. So it's like, it's almost like an extension. But what's really cool is that an iMessage app could be complementary to your application, or it could just be a whole separate application that doesn't even have a main app icon. So for instance, let's say I wanted to create some sort of iMessage bot or something like that. And they go to the iMessage app store, because there's a whole like separate app store from my understanding. They can go, and then they could, you know, you could have like conversations with that application, and you can get some interaction back and forth to your little like micro application running inside of another application. It's kind of crazy, but it's like a whole new thing to kind of think about, for iOS, which is that you can have your main application, but you can kind of also have this other nano kind of application inside of iMessage. It's kind of crazy.
Good grief. And as developers, we're going to need to take that on, understand it, integrate it, build with it. And hopefully Xamarin is going to say, no, we're going to integrate that into Xamarin Forms, and you'll press one button. Mm-hmm. You like that?
Yeah. I think that's one of those things where it comes down to what I love about our platform is that, and I've loved it since the day I found it 5 years ago, is that you can do anything, right? So if your application needs this, you can go do it, and you can do it all in C#. So let's say the Evolve Conference application has a great application by itself in Xamarin Forms. Well, if I want to, I can then go create a watch application. I can create a tvOS application, or now even I can create this iMessage application, you know, in the core project or as an extension project onto it. But it's like a micro application. So sure, like this application is so specific to iMessage that it has no reason to be in Xamarin Forms, nor does it have, there's no UI really, right? It's all this like different API. And it doesn't worry about Android or UWP or anything like that. But it's like, you can do it. So it's like, if you want to really get down and create that world-class experience and add all these features and do all these little tiny things, you can do it. And that's what I love about the platform, is that Xamarin Forms adds this huge abstraction over the core framework, user interface, but you can always get down and do the native stuff if you need to.
Yes. So before I let you go, let's talk about Xamarin Forms and how Xamarin Company is seeing Xamarin Forms and positioning it, because that has evolved enormously in a fairly short amount of time.
Yeah, it's super great. I mean, I've always loved Xamarin Forms. I use it. It's actually hard sometimes to demo native Xamarin stuff in storyboards and Android XML, because you can do it so fast in Xamarin Forms. You know, when we were acquired by Microsoft, some really awesome things happened. One, our Mono was open sourced, relicensed under MIT, which is huge for anyone creating a game engine or want to embed our Mono into an embedded hardware or something like that. But we also open sourced all of Xamarin iOS, Xamarin Android, Xamarin Mac. In fact, our upcoming Xamarin Android 7.0 release is built completely off of all open source components, things like that. This is the first releases to start to come out that are built against these open source projects. So you can see the development while it's happening. But we also open source Xamarin Forms, and we've seen a plethora of amazing pull requests and contributions coming in. So there's tons of developers using Xamarin Forms, and often it's where most developers start. They say, oh, I want to create a new project, and there you go. So messaging is interesting, because now everything's open source. You can see everything. You can see exactly how it works. So there's no real questions about it. Xamarin Forms, I've always positioned it as, you know, it's amazing to get started, to prototype, to build applications that are doing forms over data, to do applications that don't need, you know, a designer nitpicking every little pixel here and there, doing all this stuff. And I still position it that way, but you can do so much more now, and the performance has gotten so much better. So like when I used to say, like, you know, if you wanted the finely optimized performance and this, and you want to do this little thing, yeah, of course, you still will always kind of get pure to the metal startup time, pure to the metal scrolling on the native approach. But Xamarin Forms has just gotten so much better with compiled XAML and our optimizations around list view that are there. So as long as your applications don't need to look dramatically different, then you're totally good with Xamarin Forms. And I was quoted a while ago that 80% of applications could be built in Xamarin Forms. And I kind of stick by that because if you think about it, a lot of applications are being built in the enterprise. So you may have a company building one or two applications for the app store, but 100 applications internally. And that's really great because they can be super productive with Xamarin Forms. But for me, what's really nice is we've made it easier to do native embedding. We have further enhancements around embedding native control. So when you do need to spice up your applications, you can more easily. Things with effects, with custom native embedding, and then, of course, custom render still. But if you developer, any developer, like even me, if I want like the startest fast uptime and I want the most highly optimized XYZ, right? I would still go down the native traditional Xamarin approach. I love Android development. I love how the world works where I'm, you know, hiding the toolbar and I'm using these like collapsible things and I'm using floating action buttons and I'm just coordinating it all together and recycler views and grids. And it's like, it's just crazy. It takes a lot of time and energy to put that into that user interface. But if that's the type of application I'm creating, then yeah, go for that. But if you're creating the application where everything fits inside of what's available in Xamarin Forms and some of the open source plugins and controls that are out there and things like SyncFusion, Telerik, they're building all these great UI controls to go in there, then boom, definitely take advantage of it. And you're seeing great contributions from the community that are out there forking it, pulling in pull requests, and adding it in. And I think you're going to really see, you know, even Xamarin Forms just continue to thrive and more optimizations, more things being added. Like you saw not only the compiled XAML, but there's things around navigation, URL navigation. So in the Xamarin Evolve application, you could click on the website and click on a session. It would open directly into the application. It would be app indexed with Siri. It'd be indexed with Google app indexing. So that was all available in Xamarin Forms, the later versions of it. So you're really seeing a lot of these even other native things besides controls be abstracted into a beautiful API for developers to take advantage of. And then you have things like the Xamarin Forms XAML previewer coming out. It's still in preview today. That's available. And then you have a great ecosystem of other developers building tools around Xamarin Forms that we've blogged about to generate user interfaces really quick. So it's really awesome to see. So I don't know if that answers your question at all, Jesse.
Oh, absolutely. And that was fantastic. But I do want to ask you a final topic about merge conflict. That's your podcast. How long has that been going on and what kinds of things do you focus on?
Yeah. So if you follow me for a while, I've always talked about Frank Krueger for a long time, and Frank and I have been good friends for a long, long time. Frank made really popular applications like iCircuit and Calca. He made SQLite PCL, which a lot of us use for SQLite support. He also just built Continuous, which is a full IDE to do Xamarin Forms, Xamarin iOS, and just C# and F# applications on an iPad or an iPhone with full Roslyn support. It's crazy. He built that in Xamarin. It's bananas. Everyone should go buy it. It's called Continuous. You can go to continuous.codes and you can find it. It's great. It's $10. It's a full ID. It's amazing. So Frank and I have been friends for a long time, and I had a podcast a long time ago. I go on podcasts. I'm lucky enough to have you invite me on. And I do, you know, a lot of conferences, and sometimes I just like to have a conversation. That's my favorite part of doing podcasts, is it's kind of like Jesse and I were catching up, you know, and I talked to Frank, we're catching up. So Frank and I, we decided, you know what, we're going to do something off the clock. So it's not a Xamarin show. It's not a Microsoft show. It's merge conflict. We came up with it because, you know, Frank is an iOS guy. I'm an Android guy. We often agree on things, but we also have different opinions on things. And we also thought it was a nice nod to everyone's favorite time of coding, which is when you go to commit something and you have that merge conflict that is going to take you all day to fix. And what we cover is all things development and technology. So it's not necessarily focused on Xamarin development or .NET development. It's focused on all things development and technology. So we may cover things like, you know, how are we sharing code? What's the best way of sharing code? Or, you know, how do we learn programming languages? And what's the best way? Like, do we need to learn Go? And do we need to learn F#? Or how do we learn how to do those things? Or what's the right way to do open source? The last two episodes we did one on onboarding. So how do you properly onboard people into your applications, the first run experience, the update scenarios? What's the best way around that? And then most recently, we just released one on all the brand new stuff that Apple's releasing. So it was like nothing about development, really, besides that, you know, iOS 10 is going GA. But we just covered our thoughts, our minds from our developer perspective of how this new hardware is going to affect us, what we thought of the presentation and things like that. It's a weekly show. It is released every single Monday at midnight PDT or 7 a.m. GMT, no matter what. So that means that, which is great, because when you wake up in the morning, it's already going to be on your favorite podcast application, whether it's an iTunes or on podcast or Pocket Cast or Overcast or Stitcher. It doesn't matter. Google Play, it's everywhere, right? It's there. And we just cover all sorts of things. And we love to get feedback from our listeners. And yeah, it's mergeconflict.fm. We bought a very, very fancy domain name. Cost quite a bit of money, surprisingly. But it's mergeconflict.fm. We have a Twitter account, Facebook page, all that stuff, because it's just fun to talk about non-work stuff, but still work stuff, you know?
Yeah, because you have all that spare time.
Oh my, yeah. All that spare time. Yeah, exactly. And you know, and what I did, I also started another show, by the way.
Channel
not a
9.
Podcast on Channel 9. Yeah, I started.
That's just a big thing. Please.
It was a big deal. So if people have been following me a little bit, I have, again, had the honor of going on to a lot of Channel 9. People don't know what Channel 9 is. I actually run into a lot of developers that don't know Channel 9. How would you describe Channel 9, Jesse?
I would describe it as Microsoft's TV station for developers.
Perfect. Exactly. Right. It's the community. It's like a hand-curated YouTube feed with these shows and series that are brought to you from people inside of Microsoft. And there's all these great shows like Azure Friday and now the Xamarin Show. So I was on a lot of things such as Visual Studio Toolbox. I worked my way in to get my very own show. It is a weekly show. It's going to be released every single Wednesday at 8 a.m. PDT. This is me. I really like releasing things every single week. And I just released my first episode. I couldn't think of a better name, so I did The Xamarin Show. It's exactly as what you would expect. Like, it was like, this is it. And it's all about native development. And what's great is that you're going to see me, but it's my turn to actually host and have guests on and interview them, which is fun. So we have a lot of really cool stuff coming up from the Hockey App team, the VSTS team, some people internally working on, you know, Visual Studio and Xamarin Studio and Test Cloud and all these other cool products that you're using to do native cross-platform development with Xamarin. So if you want to listen, if you want to watch, I'm here. I'm here for you. I'm on my GitHub. I'm on my Twitter. I'm everywhere. That's my plan. I think I've fully tried to take over all sources of media.